Hey, this is Brandon Crawford from the San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
What's up, everybody? Well, this is a group interview with Buster Posey that I participated in at AT&T Park on Media Day, and it's about 11 or 12 minutes. I do ask a few questions about the World Baseball Classic and knuckleballs. He also talks with other reporters about various things, including who calls the pitches and a few other interesting subjects. So don't forget to check out our other interviews with guys like new closer Mark Melanson, Jeff Samardzija, Matt Moore, Bruce Bochy, Brandon Crawford, and Hunter Pence over at TorchCast.com. Hope you enjoy.
Now, does Bochy call any of the pitches, or is it all you?
It's all me. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. It's all me.
Okay. That's even more
if
impressive.
If I'm looking at Bochy, he's giving me a sign with a runner on first, whether he wants me to throw over or pitch out or slide stuff.
That's I see Bochy does this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's good. So you really call it, and you got five of the best pitchers, starting pitching staff, I think I've seen in quite a few years. Following the Giants.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we're in a great position, and hopefully can capitalize on that.
Wow, very impressive. And you got a good closer, too.
Oh, yes, sir. Yep. That's right.
We're doing a story on Jeff Head and his sports science program. Is that something that you've embraced and profited from?
Definitely. Jeff has worked his tail off the last year or two in trying to find anything he can to give us an edge. Maybe it's as simple as paying attention to guys' weight and keeping enough calories in their system to help them maintain some weight, or different types of recovery. I mean, he's constantly soaking up information and trying to figure out ways that it can benefit us, and I think somebody like him is very valuable to the team.
I think for a catcher is especially important because you're always focused on recovery and bouncing back. Do the numbers that you're getting from the testing generally reflect how you feel? I mean, if you're feeling worn down?
Yeah, I'm a little bit, to be quite honest with you, I'm sometimes hesitant to rely on what the machines are telling me, just because, and I've had this conversation with Jeff, is regardless of what the machine tells me, I need to be ready to play every day. And I don't want to come in with the pre-notion that maybe I'm subpar or deficient in a certain area.
I see.
So I'm a little bit cautious with that.
Because you don't have the luxury of saying, like,
so I'm going to take the day off because I'm not in the green today. I don't think fans would understand
still,
that one.
But you still look at it anyway. It's helpful in some ways.
Some ways, yeah. No, it definitely is. Yeah. It definitely is. I just think, like anything else, there has to be a balance.
That was going to be my next question. I mean, regardless of the machines and the readings and the times and whether something's in green and whatever, I mean, you pretty much know in your mind when you're right and when you need time, right?
I think so. I think it's the more you play and the more you train, you start to understand your body better. So I could see for somebody, that's just starting off, where the information might be a little bit more valuable to them than somebody has had years of repetition. But I do think there is value in it, but I think you have to balance all that information and not be overloaded with it.
How much does your, I guess, training table time or timetable move up now that you're going to play the World Baseball Classic?
I hope not any. I feel great right now. Yeah. Give me another 2 weeks of catching bullpens and running and throwing and hitting and all that, and I'll probably be feeling back to the normal baseball feel.
How much time off do you give yourself once the season's over?
I'll usually take at least a couple of weeks, and then try to start getting back in on whether it's a bike or an elliptical, just to get everything moving again. Because I've noticed that my body, as the years have gone on, my body starts asking me after the season's over and I stop catching and throwing, what the heck am I doing? And I tighten up a little bit, and then it'll all come back around after a little bit of rest and getting back on those bikes and ellipticals.
Yeah, and then you got the kid factor in there. I mean, they want to play with dad. You know, dad's around. You get, oh, I need. They don't want to hear that you got to go work out. Yeah.
Right. Right. And my wife, she's like, all right, you've been on the road and traveling, so it's your time to get out there and play. So I don't want to hear that anything's sore.
This is when you give her the sports science readouts and right, say, yeah, you gotta back off.
Yeah, and she'll say, well, I don't have time to read that right now, so get out there.
Oh, that's one thing I thought about. I mean, she's probably, oh, good, you're home. I have a few things.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the big list, the honey-do list.
She takes care of everything, so I'm more than happy. I'm more than happy, sweetheart, to help out.
We're also doing a story on how teams have so many guys who throw so damn hard now, especially late in the games. The late in the relievers are all throwing 95+. How have you seen that changed during your time in the game?
It's changed. Yeah, I have that conversation with guys that have been playing longer than I have, and I'll ask them, I'll say, is it just me? I mean, even from the time that I've been here, it's definitely changed. I mean, there's more guys. You've got middle relief guys coming in throwing 100 miles an hour, and you're like, wait, 100 miles an hour is supposed to be one or two guys across the whole league, and they're supposed to be closing the game out. So, it seems like guys, I mean, I'm about ready to move the mound back a little bit, I think.
As a hitter, what's the difference between, you know, facing a guy who's 93 and another guy who's 98? That split second, what's the difference?
I mean, there's a difference. There's no doubt there is a difference. Just like anything else, like hitting, there's no one right way to hit. Somebody that throws 98 obviously might not be as effective as somebody that throws 93 that has good movement or good deception. So I think that's, to me, the biggest kicker is those guys that have deception, regardless of how hard they throw, they're tough.
Speaking of hard throw, didn't you catch Rawlis Chapman?
I did. I caught him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught him one time.
Well, when that happens, I mean, these guys throw so hard. I mean, as a catcher, I just as a fan watching on TV, it's like, how do these balls not even knock you back?
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I wasn't very comfortable about doing it. it was in an All-Star game, and in the All-Star game, he lets it eat every time, but he's letting it go and never caught the guy before. And my thought is make sure your hands are in the right position and you don't bust your hand up while you're doing this. Yeah. But hats off to the guys that get to catch
him. Yeah, because I've heard if you catch it wrong, I mean, you could really hurt your hand.
Yeah, I think that holds true with a lot of pitchers. So, but he's pretty remarkable how quickly the ball gets there.
Is that the hardest pitcher to catch, or is it somebody like Lincecum who threw so many different angles? Was it harder to pick up?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I'd have to catch Chapman a little more to know that. But both guys can. You got to be on your toes for sure.
Have you ever caught a guy where you've just said to yourself in your mind, "Ow." Expletive.
All the time. All the time.
Strickland throws pretty hard, too. Yeah.
Very hard. Yeah. Yep.
How many knuckleballers have you caught in your career?
None.
Oh, really? Okay. Even on the side or just fooling around? Just curious.
Other than, like, the other catchers throwing them to me in warm-ups. No, I haven't. Okay. Don't really. If it happens, I'll do it, but. Man, it doesn't look fun.
No.
It doesn't look fun.
It's like
for
beat up.
And it's not the beat up. It's just, I mean, you can't anticipate what the ball's going to do. The guy on the mound doesn't know. Maybe he might have a little bit of a sense on which way it's going to go, but, yeah, that's a challenge.
Speaking of knuckleballers, did you hear that B. Wheezy is trying to make a comeback as a knuckleball pitcher?
I did hear that. I wouldn't put it past him, to be honest with you.
He's lost his beard and everything. He just shaved it off, yeah.
New man. We'll see.
You said he's been fiddling around with a knuckleball for a while. Did you ever see it?
Yeah, I used to see him play with it, even when he was here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How was it?
I don't remember.
Well, but how about the hitting a knuckleball? Is that difficult to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, I think your approach goes out the window somewhat because it's hard to go up with a plan when the guy on the mound doesn't necessarily know what the ball's going to do.
That's true.
Frank Robinson used to say, swing where it ain't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Could you imagine Chapman and then being relieved by a knuckleball pitcher? No. I mean, that would be a difference in night and day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck.
How'd you get contacted by the for WBC? How'd that come in?
They asked about it
there he is.
About midway through the year, last year, and they kind of created a preliminary list, and then as the off season progressed, contacted, asked if there was interest, and I said sure.
That's cool. Yeah, Hunter, I was surprised he actually wanted to be asked. Apparently, so you might have to talk to him about that.
And oh yeah.
A little bit.
Oh shoot.
No, but I'm sure you're excited since you answered pretty much right away. Huh?
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's a unique opportunity to get to represent your country, and I think it's an opportunity for someone like myself who enjoys baseball to be a part of hopefully some global expansion of the game. And I think that's the way to look at it, is that it's a pretty cool deal for a lot of different countries to be involved with baseball at the same time.
Yeah, with the acceleration of needing to be ready for 9 innings sooner than you normally are, I mean, how is that in terms of your offseason preparation?
I think that's to be determined over the next few weeks here in spring training. I mean, I think my training regimen, I have to be smart still to where I'm not going out catching a lot right now. You know, I've gotten down in the squat probably more so and sooner than I would have in any other year except my first couple of years. So I think I'll talk to Boach about that and figure out what type of schedule we need to take to be ready to do that.
Are you just going to be catching for the team?
I believe so, yeah. We got a couple of good first basemen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Big number 44 over there, right? Yeah. So, yeah, you got some good ones there.
All right, two more for me, and then I'm out of here. First of all, Fan Fest. I'm just curious, as a player, when you see Fan Fest evolve with thousands of people coming through, does it energize you guys even more? A good send off for spring training?
Definitely. I mean, it's kind of it kickstarts the spring off for us, kickstarts the season. See the fans' excitement, and it's almost impossible for it not to be exuded onto you, and it definitely gets us excited.
And I know this has been kind of popular at the minor league level. I don't know if you've heard about maybe an idea of experimenting with having a guy on second base to start the extra innings at the major league level. You like it? Yes? No?
I personally like it just because I think it adds excitement to the game. And for me, selfishly, it's hard to catch 13 innings and then be expected to catch the next day, or maybe you play a 13-inning game at night and then there's a 1 o'clock game the next day. I can promise you legs are feeling a little different after those games.
I've been asking around about Madison Bumgarner as a hitter.
Thanks, Buster.
And, yeah, you got it.
I was talking to Hensley, and he mentioned that the leg kick that Bumgarner has in the box may have developed from conversation between you two.
You'd have to ask Bum. I'm not sure. I mean, he's always kind of been a student of hitting, but I wouldn't want to say 100% that it was or not, but I could see it being a possibility.
How often do you guys talk hitting instead of pitching?
Not that much. I mean, it's more like kind of standing around the cage, or he might ask me about a certain pitcher before he goes to hit, how does his ball move or whatnot, and he's able to process that information and apply it, I think.
And I'm asking around, it seems like the consensus is that in terms of raw power on the team, it might be Pence and Bumgarner. It's a close race. Where do you kind of weigh in on that?
Ooh, yeah, that's it's tight. If I had to give somebody an edge for raw power, I'd probably go Pence. Just overall consistently raw power. But Bum hits the ball maybe a little bit further than he does.
Is Bum the kind of guy who would dispute the idea of Pence?
Absolutely. That's why I said it.
All right, well, hopefully you read.
Yep.
Thanks a bunch.
All right, you got it.
All right, I think you're out of here.
All right.
One more question.
Yep.
What do you do for fun in the off season?
Just
family time, little golf.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Keep it low key.
That's good. Yeah, Ted's season, I guess you could say. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Buster. Appreciate it.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.